Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Sterrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, will hook up with me from Council Bluffs, Iowa. In approximately 1 hour from now, we'll be talking about a series of domestic and international news stories that are of interest to you and to me in the days ahead. Speaking of which, there are a number of items today on the World Wide Web that are well worth your attention. Philip Giraldi, Pat Buchanan's pal at the American Conservative, has a new essay, which is a leading post at antiwar.com this morning. It's entitled Phantoms Over Syria. Christopher John Bjerknes has a post at Jewish Racism dealing with the whole issue of who and what is behind this impending conflict between Turkey and the PKK on the Iraqi side of the border with Turkey. Who is manipulating this situation? Christopher John Bjerknes and Wayne Madsen both have their ideas as to who may be behind this. Wayne Madsen says, in fact, that the Israeli lobby may be the source of the Armenian genocide resolution. Christopher John Bjerknes warns both Turks and Kurds not to be provoked into a conflict in the Middle East, where the PKK is, in fact, stirring up this situation with Israeli backing, according to Christopher John Bjerknes. The McClatchy Washington Bureau has a post entitled, Bush is the biggest spender since Lyndon Baines Johnson. Philip Golub has a post at the Star today entitled, The Sun Sets Early on the American Century. Paul Craig Roberts' most recent essay is entitled, The Iraqi Genocide. Paul Grubach has a most fascinating open letter to the President of the United States entitled, Zionism, George Bush, War with Iran, and Holocaust Revisionism. The New York Times has a very, very interesting article today in this morning's edition entitled, Reports Suggest Broader Losses from Mortgages. The Kavkaz Center in Chechnya notes that the Islamophobic week that is being sponsored by David Horowitz is making its appearance at a series of American campuses around the country, even as we go to the airwaves this morning. And, of course, the San Diego Union-Tribune continues to cover this dreadful situation in Southern California, where there is ongoing controversy over resources. How much did the federal government know about the vulnerability of the situation in Southern California as recently as 6 months ago? What kinds of things were going on as far as budgetary priorities are concerned? And what is the relationship between the war in Iraq and the difficulties of the feds in regard to responding to a series of crises around the country, first in Katrina 2 years ago, now, of course, dealing with this whole issue of the wildfires in Southern California. That is pretty much the wrap-up as we look at it this morning in the first few minutes of the show. Let's take a look at Paul Craig Roberts' essay, perhaps first. You will find it among other places at Online Journal. Paul Craig Roberts says, why has not the Turkish parliament given tit for tat and passed a resolution condemning the Iraqi genocide? As a result of Bush's invasion of Iraq, more than 1 million Iraqis have died and several millions are displaced persons. The Iraqi death toll and the millions of uprooted Iraqis match the Armenian deaths and deportations. If one is a genocide, says Paul Craig Roberts, so is the other. It is true that most of the Iraqi deaths have resulted from Iraqis killing one another, but it was Bush's destruction of the secular Iraqi state that unleashed the sectarian strife. Moreover, American troops in Iraq have killed more civilians than insurgents. The U.S. military in Iraq has fallen for every bit of disinformation fed to it by alleged al-Qaeda personnel posing as informants and by Sunnis setting up Shiites and Shiites setting up Sunnis. As a result, American bombs and missiles have blown up weddings, funerals, kids playing soccer, and people shopping in bazaars and sleeping in their homes. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Sterrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, joins me in approximately 1 hour from Council Bluffs, Iowa.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625. 6625.
This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Among other things, we're looking at Paul Craig Roberts' essay this morning entitled The Iraqi Genocide. By the way, as we think about the cost of this war, the human cost is beyond calculation. It's probably going to get worse with an expansion of this conflict into Iran, at least if Dick Cheney has his way, among others. But did you see the latest budget figures on this that came out of the Congressional Budget Office yesterday? I keep going back to history. You will, of course, recall that if you read the book 1984 by George Orwell, that Winston had a particular job at the Ministry of Information. Among other things, he was assigned to rewrite news releases so the things that the state came out with at any given point in time could constantly be revised to keep up with current developments. I'll bet that a lot of people would like to revise what Paul Wolfowitz said 4 years ago. The entire cost of the war, he said, would be $50 billion. Winning the war, occupying Iraq, rebuilding Iraq, period. The Congressional Budget Office issued a statement yesterday saying that by the year 2017, when of course it's anticipated that we will still be in this mess, by the year 2017, the United States will have spent $2.5 trillion on this war in Iraq. $2.5 trillion. That doesn't even begin to get into the question of what it's going to cost if we get involved militarily with Iran. $50 billion, according to Mr. Wolfowitz. $2.5 trillion now, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Mr. Bush is saying that that figure is premature. And getting back to what Paul Craig Roberts says about Mr. Bush this morning in his essay, The Iraqi Genocide, American troops in Iraq have killed more civilians than insurgents. The U.S. military in Iraq has fallen for every bit of disinformation fed to it by alleged al-Qaeda personnel posing as informants and by Sunnis setting up Shiites and Shiites setting up Sunnis. As a result, American bombs and missiles have blown up weddings, funerals, kids playing soccer, and people shopping in bazaars and sleeping in their homes. Not to be outdone, says Roberts, Bush's private Waffen SS, known as Blackwater, has taken to gunning Iraqi civilians down in the streets. How do Blackwater and Custer Battles killers escape the unlawful combatant designation? One can only marvel, says Roberts, at the insouciance of the U.S. Congress to the current Iraqi genocide while condemning Turkey for one that happened 90 years ago. People seldom see the beam in their own eye, only the mote in the eyes of others. Every member of the Bush regime is busily at work denouncing Iran for causing instability in the Middle East. Meanwhile, the United States has invaded two countries, throwing them into total chaos while beating the drums for war with Iran and conspiring with Israel to invade Lebanon and to attack Syria. The indisputable facts, says Roberts, are that the U.S. and Israel have attacked four Middle Eastern countries and are determined to attack a fifth. Yet it is peaceful Iran at war with no one that Bush and Israel blame for causing instability in the Middle East. Not content with its many wars in the Middle East, the Bush regime is sponsoring wars in Africa and is setting up an African command. The U.S. government has been bombing and attacking other countries ever since the Cold War ended. Instead of peace, the gang in Washington, D.C. chose war. Other than the Israel lobby, says Roberts, the greatest supporters of Bush's war are Christian evangelicals, specifically the rapture evangelicals and the Christian Zionists. I remember, says Paul Craig Roberts, when Christianity was about saving one's soul. Today it is about bringing on Armageddon. While the various evangelical Christians preach war in the Middle East, they condemn Islam for being a warlike religion. Americans are so full of themselves, says Roberts, that they are blind to their extraordinary hypocrisy. The U.S. government has broken every agreement with Russia by withdrawing from the anti-ballistic missile treaty, pushing NATO to Russia's borders, conniving to place missiles in Poland and the Czech Republic, and buying governments in former Soviet republics and installing U.S. military bases therein. When Russian President Putin finally has enough and protests, the U.S. Secretary of State blames Putin for being difficult and restarting the Cold War. Few Americans realize it, but they take the cake. International polls show that the rest of the world regards the U.S. and Israel as the greatest dangers to world peace. Americans claim that they are fighting wars against terrorism, but it is the U.S. and Israeli terrorism that worries everyone else. The rest of the world knows that the wars are about U.S. and Israeli hegemony, and that the U.S. and Israel are prepared to engage in whatever acts of terror are necessary to achieve hegemony. That is the bare facts, says Paul Craig Roberts. When the U.S. dollar loses its reserve currency status, the U.S. empire will come to an abrupt end. Sooner or later, the rest of the world will realize this and, in an act of self-protection, dethrone the dollar. Paul Craig Roberts was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration. He, of course, has contributed over the years to all kinds of publications, including the Wall Street Journal and National Review. It's great to see Dr. Roberts' conversion over the years to a more reasonable constitutional perspective. We take our hats off to him. even as we mourn with him the death of the American Republic and the death of the American dollar and the ongoing deaths of an ever-increasing number of people who are being asked to die for Zionist and neoconservative interests in the Middle East. Here's an essay this morning, Paul Golub, coming to us from star.com. The title of the essay is "The Sun Sets Early on the American Century." I think it makes for very, very appropriate, provocative, contemplative reading on top of what Paul Craig Roberts offers to us this morning. Philip Golub says that even hard-headed realists in the U.S. power elite fear that the Iraq War has crippled America's ability to lead. Philip, maybe that's not all bad, but here's what he has to say. The disastrous outcome of the invasion and occupation of Iraq has caused a crisis in the power elite of the United States deeper than that one resulting from the defeat in the Vietnam War 30 years ago. Ironically, says Golub, it is the very coalition of ultra-nationalists and neoconservatives that coalesced in the 1970s seeking to reverse the Vietnam syndrome, restore U.S. power, and revive the quote-unquote will to victory that has caused the present crisis. There has been no sustained popular mass protest as there was during the Vietnam War, probably because of the underclass sociology of the volunteer U.S. military and the fact that the war is being funded by foreign financial flows. However, at the elite level, the war has fractured the national security establishment that has run the United States for six decades. The unprecedented public critique in 2006, says Golub, by several retired senior officers over the conduct of the war, plus recurrent signs of dissent in the intelligence agencies and the State Department, reflects a much wider trend in elite opinion. Not all critics, says Philip Golub, are as forthright as retired General William Odom, who tirelessly repeats that the invasion of Iraq was, quote, the greatest strategic disaster in U.S. history, unquote. Or Colonel Larry Wilkerson, Colin Powell's former chief of staff, who denounced, quote, a blunder of historic proportions, unquote, and has recently suggested impeaching the president. Or former National Security Council head Zbigniew Brzezinski, who called the war and occupation a, quote, historic strategic and moral calamity. Most public critique, says Phil Golub, from within the institutions of state, focus on the way the war and occupation have been mismanaged rather than the more fundamental issue of the invasion itself. Yet discord is wide and deep. Government departments are trading blame, accusing each other of the loss of Iraq. In private, former senior officials express incandescent anger, denounce shadowy cabals, and have deep contempt for the White House. A former official of the National Security Council compared the president and his staff to the Corleone mafia family in The Godfather. A senior foreign policy expert said, quote, due to an incompetent, arrogant, and corrupt clique, we are about to lose our hegemonic position in the Middle East and Gulf, unquote. Quote, the White House has broken the army and trampled its honor, unquote, added a Republican senator and former Vietnam veteran. None of these, says Philip Golub, nor any of the other institutional critics could be considered doves. Whatever their political affiliations, mostly Republican, or personal beliefs, they were and some are still guardians of U.S. power, managers of the national security state, and sometimes central actors in covert and overt imperial interventions in the Third World during the Cold War and post-Cold War. As a social group, says Golub, these realists cannot be distinguished from the object of their criticism in terms of their willingness to use force or their historically demonstrated ruthlessness in achieving state aims. Nor can the cause of their dissent be attributed to conflicting convictions over ethics, norms, and values. It lies rather in the rational realization that the war in Iraq has nearly broken the U.S. Army, weakened the national security state, and severely, if not irreparably, undermined, quote, America's global legitimacy, unquote, its ability to shape world preferences and set the global agenda. The most sophisticated expressions of dissent, such as Brzezinski's, reflect the understanding that power is not reducible to the ability to coerce and that once lost, hegemonic legitimacy is hard to restore. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Sterrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, hooks up with me live from Council Bluffs, Iowa, in approximately 37 minutes from now or so. Mary Sterrett, by the way, in my judgment, is one of the real significant people on the American right in our contemporary political and media culture right now. I think she's a fine person. She's also a very shrewd woman in regard to political analysis and ideological commitment. She also has a lot of media savvy, obviously, going back to her days in Christian broadcasting. And I think she's going to serve Howard Phillips and the Constitution Party very well, not simply in terms of media ability and being the upfront public face for the Constitution Party in regard to the national news media, but Mary Sterrett is somebody that if I were running for political office, I would be relying upon as a very, very fine advisor. She knows her stuff. She has a lot of insight in regard to political analysis and foreign policy and domestic policy and the Constitution. And again, is a unique combination of things, as you will discover if you research her online and learn the totality of her background as that is publicly published. Getting back to Paul Craig Roberts this morning, the Iraqi genocide, and also Philip Golub's essay for thestar.com entitled The Sun Sets Early on the American Century. It is interesting to see some of these writers, like Phil Golub, somewhat lamenting the demise of the American empire. I think maybe that it's a good thing. Maybe we will get back to being a constitutional republic again as the whole business of empire begins to come apart at the seams. I certainly hope so. I think that one of the things that quite clearly has come out of any analysis of the American right in recent years is this. The American right was hijacked by Bill Buckley and National Review, hijacked by the neoconservative movement, hijacked, in my judgment, by Jewish Zionist interests. And it's all brought us to the point where we now see the overextension of American military empire doing things that the old right constantly warned us would end up in disaster. Wouldn't it be nice to see the old right get back in the saddle again in regard to American foreign policy and American domestic policy and a return to constitutional principles? That would be a good thing, not a bad thing. Phil Golub, then, his essay, Sun Sets Early in the American Century, goes back to saying that as a social group, these realists cannot be distinguished from the object of their criticism in terms of their willingness to use force or their historically demonstrated ruthlessness in achieving state aims. They go on to say here, or he goes on to say here, that the most sophisticated expressions of dissent from our current Iraq policy, such as the Zbigniew Brzezinski's, reflect the understanding that power is not reducible to the ability to coerce, and that once lost, hegemonic legitimacy is hard to restore. Golub says that the signs of slippage are apparent everywhere. In Latin America, where U.S. influence is at its lowest in decades, in East Asia, where the United States has been obliged reluctantly to negotiate with North Korea and recognize China as an indispensable actor in regional security, in Europe, where U.S. plans to install missile defense capabilities in Poland are being contested by Germany and other European Union states, in the Gulf, where old allies such as Saudi Arabia are pursuing autonomous agendas that coincide only in part with U.S. aims, and in the international institutions, the UN and the World Bank, where the United States is no longer in a position to drive the agenda unaided. Transnational opinion, says Golub, surveys of transnational opinion show a consistent and nearly global pattern of defiance of U.S. foreign policy, as well as a more fundamental erosion in the attractiveness of the United States. The narrative of the American dream has been submerged by images of a military leviathan disregarding world opinion and breaking the rules. World public opinion may not stop wars, but it does count in subtler ways, says Golub. Some of the slippage may be repairable under new leaders and with new and less aggressive policies. Yet it is hard to see how internal unity of purpose will be restored. It took decades to rebuild the United States military after Vietnam and to define an elite and popular consensus on the uses of power. The invasion and occupation of Iraq is not the sole cause of the trends sketched. Rather, the war significantly accentuated all of them at a moment when larger centrifugal forces were already at work. The erosion and collapse of the Washington consensus and the gradual rise of new gravitational centers, notably in Asia, were established trends when President Bush went to war. Now, as the shift in the world economy towards Asia matures, the United States is stuck in a conflict that is absorbing its total energies. History is moving on, and the world is slipping, slowly but inexorably, out of U.S. hands. For the U.S. power elite, this is deeply unsettling. Since the mid-20th century, U.S. leaders have thought of themselves as having a unique historic responsibility to lead and govern the globe. Sitting on top of the world since the 1940s, they have assumed that, like Great Britain in the 19th century, they were destined to act as a hegemon. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments. 296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Back to Spark Dan from America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mary Sterrett, the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party, will hook up with me live from Council Bluffs, Iowa in approximately half an hour from now. Number of interesting items today in the World Wide Web. Phantoms over Syria. Phil Giraldi's essay for Pat Buchanan's American Conservative. You can find this one at antiwar.com. It is the lead story there. Christopher John Bjerknes and Wayne Madsen have some interesting material for thought in regard to who and what may be behind this whole burgeoning conflict between Turkey on the one hand and the PKK on the other. It seems to me that both Madsen and Christopher John Bjerknes are onto something here. Are the Israelis the secret hand that is manipulating these forces to go to war with one another? Are innocent Turks and innocent Kurds being caught up in a game that they don't understand? Is it divide and conquer? Is it infiltration? Is it subversion? Has it not been thus since the end of the 19th century in the Middle East at the behest of world Zionism? The Madsen essay entitled Israel Lobby May Be Source of Armenian Genocide Resolution is well worth your time this morning, as is what Christopher John Bjerknes has posted on this at Jewish Racism. That's a post entitled Closing the Front Door and the Back Door of the Trap. Is Turkey being enticed by Zionist interests to attack the PKK in Iraq? And for what endgame? The expansion of this conflict throughout the Middle East? Are we not seeing a secret, deliberate manipulation of events in that part of the world? Certainly the Madsen essay and what Christopher John Bjerknes has said is well worth your time to consider this morning. The McClatchy Washington Bureau, by the way, has a post that I'm going to be asking Mary Sterrett about this morning. It's entitled, Bush is the biggest spender since Lyndon Johnson. And when we consider what the Congressional Budget Office had to say yesterday about an Iraq war effort that's going to cost $2.5 trillion by 2017, this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what this Rockefeller Republican has been up to since he was first elected. What's the moral of the story? Among other things, it is this. A Rockefeller Republican in office is almost always a more dangerous beast than a liberal Democrat. Why is that? Well, because in the Congress, a Republican constituency in Congress feels a lot freer to oppose a Democratic president than they do a Rockefeller Republican. A Republican Congress has been going along with everything that Mr. Bush has wanted up until they were displaced from office this past January. What's the moral of the story? A Hillary Clinton presidency, is that scary? Yes, it is. Is it sickening? Yes, it is. But what about Rudolph Giuliani or John McCain or Mitt Romney? Is that an answer? If that's an answer, folks, what is the question? If that's an answer, what is the question? Back to the Philip Golub essay this morning in thestar.com. Sun sets early on the American century. For the U.S. power elite, Golub says, this is deeply unsettling, the idea that the United States is losing its grip on world events and world hegemony. Since the mid-20th century, U.S. leaders have thought of themselves as having a unique historic responsibility to lead and govern the globe. Sitting on top of the world since the 1940s, they have assumed that like Great Britain in the 19th century, they were destined to act as a hegemon, a dominant state having the will and the means to establish and maintain international order, peace, and an open and expanding liberal world economy. In their reading of history, it was Britain's inability to sustain such a role and America's simultaneous unwillingness to take responsibility that created the conditions for the cycle of world wars and depression during the first half of the 20th century. The corollary of this assumption, says Golub, is the circular argument that since order requires a dominant center, the maintenance of order, or the avoidance of chaos, requires the perpetuation of hegemony. This belief system, theorized in U.S. academia in the 1970s as hegemonic stability, has underpinned U.S. foreign policy since World War II, when the United States emerged as the core state of the world capitalist system. As early as 1940, U.S. economic and political elites forecast a vast revolution in the balance of power. The United States would become heir to the economic and political assets of the British Empire. A year later, says Golub, Time magazine publisher Henry Luce announced the coming American century. Quote, America's first century as a dominant power in the world, unquote, meant that its people would have to accept wholeheartedly our duty and our opportunity as the most powerful and vital nation and exert upon the world the full impact of our influence as we see fit and by such means as we see fit, unquote. By the mid-1940s, the contour of the American century had already emerged. U.S. economic predominance and strategic supremacy upheld by a planetary network of military bases. The post-war U.S. leaders who presided over the construction of the national security state were filled, in William Appleman Williams' words, with visions of omnipotence. The United States enjoyed enormous economic advantages, a significant technological edge, and briefly held an atomic monopoly. Though the Korean stalemate and the Soviet Union's nuclear weapons and missile programs dented U.S. self-confidence, it took defeat in Vietnam and the domestic social upheavals that accompanied the war to reveal the limits of power. Henry Kissinger's and Richard Nixon's realism in an era of decline was a reluctant acknowledgement that the overarching hegemony of the previous 20 years could not and would not last forever. But Vietnam and the Nixon era were a turning point in another more paradoxical way, says Philip Golub. Domestically, they ushered in the conservative revolution and the concerted effort of the mid-1980s to restore and renew the national security state and U.S. world power. When the Soviet Union collapsed a few years later, misguided visions of omnipotence resurfaced. Conservative triumphalists dreamed of primacy and sought to lock in long-term unipolarity. Iraq was a strategic experiment designed to begin the second American century. That experiment and U.S. foreign policy now lie in ruins. Historical analogies are never perfect, but Great Britain's long exit from empire may shed some light on the present moment, says Phil Golub. At the end of the 19th century, few British leaders could even begin to imagine an end to empire. When Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee was celebrated in 1897, Britain possessed a formal transoceanic empire that encompassed a quarter of the world's territory and 300 million people, twice that of China, a near colony of 430 million people, was included. The city of London was the center of an even more far-flung trading and financial empire that bound the world. It is unsurprising that, despite apprehensions over U.S. and German industrial competitiveness, significant parts of the British elite believe that they have been given, quote, a gift from the Almighty of a lease of the universe forever, unquote. The Jubilee turned out to be, quote, final sunburst of an unalloyed belief in British fitness to rule, unquote. The Second Boer War from 1899 to 1902 fought to preserve the routes to India and secure the weakest link in the imperial chain, wasted British wealth and blood, and revealed the atrocities of scorched earth policies to a restive British public. The World War that broke out in 1914 bankrupted and exhausted all of its European protagonists. The long end of the British era had started. However, the empire not only survived the immediate crisis, but hobbled on for decades through World War II until its inglorious end at Suez in 1956. Still, a nostalgia for lost grandeur persists. As Tony Blair's Mesopotamian adventures show, the imperial afterglow has faded, but is not entirely extinguished. For the U.S. power elite, being on top of the world has been a habit for 60 years. Hegemony has been a way of life. Empire, a state of being and of mind. The institutional realist critics of the Bush administration have no alternative conceptual framework for international relations based on something other than force, the balance of power, or strategic predominance. The present crisis and the deepening impact of global concerns will perhaps generate new impulses for cooperation and interdependence in the future. Yet it is just as likely, says Philip Golub, that U.S. policy will be unpredictable. As all post-colonial experiences show, de-imperialization is likely to be a long and possibly traumatic process. That is Phil Golub's essay today at thestar.com entitled, The Sun Sets Early on the American Century. You know what I'm reminded of as I take a look at this essay? That those who have advocated this kind of hegemony for the United States, much like their British predecessors, have failed to understand the fundamental lessons of the second and seventh chapters of the book of Daniel. It is God that sets up kings and deposes kings. It is God that causes empires to rise and to fall, and that the reasons for their rise and fall are almost always the same. And it is God that governs the affairs of men, not individual kings and empires. It is God who sets up all of these things, and who, among other things, determines the second coming of his Son. This is Philip Golub's essay, thestar.com, entitled "The Sun Sets Early on the American Century." I have one other reaction to this one that I've already mentioned this morning, and it's this. Can the American right, the true American right, reclaim its movement? Can we leave empire and go back to republic? Can we envision a time when the American Constitution will reign again? When I read what Philip Golub has to say this morning, what Paul Craig Roberts has to say about Iraqi genocide, I am reminded of what Murray Rothbard warned us about before his death in the 1990s. And it was this, that the American right had lost its way. The American right, the neoconservative right, was taking us in a direction of empire that would ultimately cause a shipwreck of fortunes. But in that shipwreck of fortunes, perhaps are the seeds of opportunity to regain this country again for its constitution and for the vision of the founding fathers and for the concept of liberty that they well nigh understood. What's the moral of the story? Good riddance to George Bush. Good riddance to John Hagee. Good riddance to Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson. Good riddance to the Zionist lobby. Good riddance to central bankers. Good riddance to people who advocate war for empire and not for moral and constitutional reasons. When we get rid of all of these people and get rid of all of this bankrupt ideology and go back to constitutionalism, we might discover how much better off we are as a nation, how much better off we are as individual people. In the seeds of decline is an opportunity. Let's seize it prayerfully and ask God to guide us in the days ahead. Take a brief look this morning before Mary Sterrett comes on about this whole business of Turkey and Armenia and the PKK. What is behind all of this, including the latest, which is that as of yesterday or yesterday evening before I went to church to teach a class on prophecy, I was looking at these British Broadcasting Corporation reports of Turkish airstrikes against PKK positions in Iraq. Christopher John Bjerknes warns us about this morning at JewishRacism.com. He says, the Jewish-controlled PKK are prodding the Turks to strike into Iraq. The Jewish Duenma of Turkey are propagandizing the Turks to attack the Kurds. Real Turks and real Kurds, says Bjerknes, ought to shut the doors to this trap. Turkey will only worsen matters if it falls into the trap of invading Iraq. Kurds will only suffer if they do not do everything in their power to shut down the PKK and turn in the Mossad and crypto Jews who run the PKK. The UN must address Israel's perpetual agitations for war in the Middle East. Turkey and the Kurds ought to sue the Israeli warmonger, says Bjerknes. Turkey cannot afford a prolonged conflict in mountainous regions as winter approaches. Turkey cannot afford dramatically increased sedition and outright civil war on its soil. Kurds, says Bjerknes, you will not gain Kurdistan by provoking World War III, despite what the Jews have falsely promised you. Azeris, you will not take eastern Armenia, northern Iran, and become a part of a greater Azerbaijan by joining with Turks in war, despite what the Jews have falsely promised you. Armenians, you will not take western Armenia and Baku when Turkey is balkanized in the planned war, despite what the Jews have falsely promised you. All you all will receive is ruined cities and corpses piled up to the moon if you play along with the Jews in hopes of expanded territory and ancient glory. Instead of killing one another off to profit the Jews, unite and confront your common enemy with peace between you. Build the region into a prosperous and cooperative hub between East and West. Let Israel, instead of you, rot on their scavenger diet. Force the parasite into cannibalism. Muslims and Christians in the Middle East, you must create new institutions to resolve conflicts between you and promote peace and stability. World Jewry controls the international institutions of the world today and is using them to destroy you. Save yourselves and keep them out. Stop fighting one another and start helping one another. In this way, says Bjerknes, you will close out your real enemy and help yourselves. It sounds like the very concept of Crescent and Cross that was devised by Mark Glenn and Hisham Talawi. Christians and Muslims need to understand who it is that is pitting them against one another and why that might be. And Christians and Muslims must understand who the real manipulators are of this situation, whether we are talking about this tragic circumstance between the Turks and the PKK, whether we are talking about Azeris and who it is that is manipulating them at the present time, or whether we are talking about the domestic institutions and the culture of the United States of America. It's the same folks behind it all with the same tragic results. By the way, Paul Grubach has a very, very important piece entitled Zionism, George Bush, War with Iran, and Historic.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, we've got fires in Southern California. We have the Congressional Budget Office talking about $2.5 trillion in American expenditures on the war in Iraq as of 2017. And we have a series of very fine essays this morning. Philip Giraldi of Pat Buchanan's American Conservative has a lead story posted at antiwar.com entitled Phantoms Over Syria. Christopher John Bjerknes and Wayne Madsen have very, very important essays as to what may be behind this whole controversy between Turks and Armenians and the so-called PKK in Iraq. The Bjerknes essay is entitled Jewish Racism, Closing the Front Door and the Back Door of the Trap. And, of course, the Wayne Madsen essay is entitled The Israel Lobby May Be the Source of the Armenian Genocide Resolution. The McClatchy Washington Bureau tells us that George Bush is the biggest spender since Lyndon Johnson. Philip Golub has a very, very important essay, which we looked at in its entirety this morning, entitled The Sun Sets Early on the American Century. You can find that one at thestar.com. Paul Craig Roberts, of course, at the Online Journal, has a very, very sobering piece to complement what Phil Golub has talked about. And the title of Dr. Roberts' essay is The Iraqi Genocide. The New York Times has a post today on page one entitled Reports Suggest Broader Losses from Mortgages. And the Kafka Center in Chechnya tells us that this is the Islamophobic week at U.S. campuses being sponsored by Zionist David Horowitz. What's behind this? I think that one is absolutely transparent. In the couple of minutes that we have or less before Mary Sterrett comes on, wanted to take a look at, or at least note, Paul Grubach's open letter to George Bush, entitled George Bush, War with Iran and Holocaust Revisionism, an open letter to the President of the United States. Paul Grubach says to George Bush, Dear President Bush, in March of 2006, you publicly admitted that concerns about Iran's alleged nuclear weapons program derive largely from the threat it poses to Israel. In your own words, quote, the threat from Iran is, of course, their stated objective to destroy our strong ally Israel, unquote. In September of 2007, you invoked the Jewish Holocaust ideology in order to justify any possible American or Israeli attack upon Iran. A respected British news source, quoting a former aide of yours, claimed your rhetoric was a precise attempt to link Iran's quest for nuclear weapons and desire to wipe Israel off the map with Hitler's destruction of the Jews, quote, Iran's active pursuit of technology that could lead to nuclear weapons, unquote, you were quoted as saying, quote, threatens to put the region already known for instability and violence under the shadow of a nuclear holocaust, unquote. The former White House aide clarified the meaning of your statement, quote, by using the word holocaust, Mr. Bush has provided a moral reason to allow the Jewish state to do what it needs to do. He is reinvoking the notion of never again. If you believe that there could be another Holocaust, it becomes morally indefensible to stand back. It is a powerful and loaded term. Those people in Europe who believe that the neocons have gone away and shrunk under a rock had better wise up fast, unquote. Paul Grubach says to President Bush, your viewpoint is very misleading, if not blatantly false. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Podcast.